Now, we would like to just open our Bibles, please, in John's Gospel, John chapter 4 tonight. And we'll read a few verses from John chapter 4. As you remember, Ian was looking with us at some of the questions that we find in the Bible, and we want to kind of continue that theme tonight. But we want to think about a woman that almost doesn't ask a question, a woman who almost forgets to ask a question. We're going to think about a woman who has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4. Now read from verse 3, please, in John chapter 4. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, it says, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." You see, that woman had an opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for living water, and she missed it. She missed it. She had an opportunity to ask, and she forgot to ask. You never quite got round to it there. You see that, don't you? If you knew, says the Lord Jesus, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, that's the Son of God. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew the Son of God, you wouldn't have forgotten. You would have said, Give me to drink. And I would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And just a single verse in the Luke's Gospel, in chapter 11, a well-known verse. Luke chapter 11, and verse number 9. Again, dealing with asking questions, the Lord Jesus says in Luke 11 and verse 9, And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And we do look to God for his help as we think about these verses tonight. Well, we've read a fair part there of John chapter 4. Maybe you would just wonder what exactly that was all about, John chapter 4. Well, I suppose, first of all, what it's all about is a woman. A woman. Just one woman, in fact. That whole chapter, more or less, is all about just one woman. We've said it often before in the hall, but we'll say it again tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's very different from you and I. You see, you and I, we love big crowds. And we love big numbers. We love lots of people. And if you're a preacher, you like to preach to lots of people. And maybe if you go along to a church, you like to be amongst lots of people, and we love lots of people. But the Lord Jesus, you know, was very different. Time and time again, the Lord Jesus takes time. The Son of God, nobody more important than him, Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ takes time just to speak to one woman, or just to speak to one man, just one person at a time. The Lord Jesus Christ takes time to. In John chapter 4, it's all about just a single woman, just one woman. I was thinking, you know, about the weeks of preaching that have gone. We've heard Ian preach to us now for 6 weeks. That's nearly 40 gospel messages we've heard. There's nearly 1,500 leaflets going out into the village. Nearly 300 CDs have gone out as well. You say, what's it all about? Well, it's about this. It's about the desire of the Christians here just to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about a belief that we have, that the believers that meet here in the Wee Gospel Hall. We believe that God is interested in the folks in their village. And we believe that God would desire to save people in their village. We believe that God would have us to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And we believe that God wants to save men and women in New Kilnock. We believe that God wants folks to waken up and to realise that they're in terrible danger. We believe that God wants folk to waken up and to see the fact that they're sinners. That in the sight of a holy and a perfect God, they've fallen short of God's standards. That they're sinners in His sight. And if they die and they pass into the presence of God, they'll be judged. And they'll be damned forever for hell. It's a serious thing. And we believe that in such circumstances, God would be pleased to save folk. So these past weeks of gospel preaching, they've been about that, but you know, I was thinking after reading this chapter that maybe those 7 weeks of gospel preaching, those 40 gospel messages, those 1,500 leaflets, those 300 recordable CDs, maybe in fact have just been about one woman. Or maybe they've been about just one man. Maybe they've been about the Lord Jesus just having a desire just to work in the life of one individual. You see, that's not beneath the Lord Jesus. What one person isn't too insignificant for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is interested in doing a work in just one person's heart. Now, I don't know where you are tonight. I know you're in the hall, but I don't know where you are spiritually. And maybe it would be, you see, that you're that one person whom over the weeks God has been speaking to. And as the preacher, as Ian's been opening up the Word of God, and you've been listening to what he's been saying, you feel that the message has just been for you. And maybe he's been speaking about things that are just absolutely specific to the kind of circumstances that you're going through in your life. And you're very much aware that God is speaking to you. Maybe these meetings have just been about one person, just one man, or just one woman. Listen, I wonder if you're that person. I wonder if you would do something for me tonight. Before you go home and before you put your head in your pillow and go to sleep, would you do something for me? Would you get right with God? Would you just close your eyes and instead of going to sleep, just tell God, tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you're a sinner. And tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you're the sinner that He died for. And ask Him into your heart and ask Him to save you. Would you do that for me? In fact, never mind about doing it for me. Would you do it for yourself? Because it's ever so important. And if you don't, your soul will be lost forever. And hear the Lord Jesus. He's interested in just one woman. The Lord Jesus. It's about a woman, and it's about a woman, you know, a woman that she almost forgets to ask a question. She almost forgets. We read about it there, down at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ it had living water. We'll call it salvation tonight. He was able to give her something that would really satisfy her. Something that would fill up the emptiness of her life. Something that would satisfy her life for just now and satisfy her life forever. And she almost forgot to ask it. Almost. We never read the end of the story. But when the Lord Jesus prompted her, she took His prompt. And then she, in the end she asked. But don't be like that woman, won't you not tonight? And don't forget. Don't forget. After all of these weeks of gospel preaching, after having heard God speak to you, after being burdened about your sin, and after seeing the Lord Jesus Christ presented so often in these meetings, as the only one that can save you, and as the one that loved you and died for you, don't forget to ask him to save you, will you? It's ever so important. For here we have a woman, and she almost forgot to ask the Lord Jesus. So the chapter's about a woman. And I notice too, someone else, and I'm sure you notice somebody else in the chapter, not only is it about a woman, but it's about a man, a very special man indeed. For there wasn't any man quite like this man. It was about too the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? One man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and one woman. One sinner, and one saviour. And I learn this, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in just one person, I learn this, that getting saved, getting right with God, getting this living water, it's a very, very personal thing. It's just between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just one-to-one. Very personal. Very personal. I wonder if you've had a personal experience of Jesus Christ. Have you? Are you saved? Have you had a one-to-one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Just like this woman. You say, Stuart, I go to church. That's good. Maybe you would go on better than that. Maybe you would tell me you're a member of a church. Or maybe you would be like the little woman across the road that we invited to the meetings. And she wished us all the best with the meetings. But she said she couldn't manage because she's got her own church. That's good, isn't it? Not only goes to one, but she's got her own. That's good. But we're not asking you that tonight. We're not asking you if you go to a church or you're a member of a church, or if you've got your own personal church. Have you got your own personal Saviour? Not so much have you got somewhere to go on a Sunday, but have you got somewhere to go in eternity? Have you got a Saviour? Have you saved? Have you had that one-to-one personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ? This woman had. And don't tell me either, will you? Please don't tell me either, as I've heard. Don't tell me that you've always believed in the Lord Jesus. That's nonsense. You haven't always believed in the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells me you haven't always believed in the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells me that there are none that seek after God. That's how we start in life. We start unsaved. We start separated from God. We start as sinners. We start under the judgment of God. You weren't always saved. There has to be a time. She had a time. You'll find it was 12 o'clock. 6 hours of the day. And she had a place. It was a well, Sychar's well. And she had an encounter with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time, and there was a place, and there was a person. And that's where she got saved. So don't tell me you were always saved. You weren't. And I'm not too interested in the fact that you're a member of a church. We want to know tonight, are you saved? Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? And we notice here in John chapter 4 that is a very, very personal thing. A very personal thing. I can't get you saved. And nobody here can get you saved. That's just between you and God. It's just between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation. Very personal. That's how it begins. That's how it ends, isn't it? You see, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. You and God. Is that right? We've all been there, haven't we? Remember the first time I was there? Little room in Kirkcaldy Hospital it was. The family were gathered around the bed. There was a body in the bed. The body was still breathing. Lungs were still moving and the pulse was still beating. The hand was still holding. Breathing got shallower. Shallower. The pulse got weaker. And just as I came into the room, and just as the wife looked at me and said to me, how long? And just as I was about to say, well, maybe a few more hours, the breathing stopped. The pulse stopped. And the hand slipped. The hand that was holding the hand of his wife, it slipped and it dropped down. word of God was fulfilled, as it had been fulfilled a million times before. It's appointed once unto a man to die. After this, the judgment. And then something else that we couldn't see would be fulfilled. We shall all stand before the judgment seat. You see, at the end of the day, all that really matters is you and God. When your grip has let go of everything else, and when all of those things that seemed ever so important this afternoon don't matter at all anymore, and when all of those things that worried us seem absolutely stupid, all that will be left is you and Christ, you and God. Now listen. Are you saved? Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Have you had that one-to-one encounter that woman had here in John chapter 4? Has there been a time in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ has done what he said he would do? You remember how he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is there a time, as you flick back the pages of your life in your mind tonight, is there a time when you were aware that the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking you? And was there a time when he saved you? For it's ever so important, you know. For at the end of the day, that is all that really matters. You and God. You and Christ. And here's a woman. Just one woman. And just one man, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the chapter now, it's all about a woman, and it's all about a man. I noticed this too about this woman, you know. She had a problem. She had a problem. So she did. If you look down, maybe we didn't read it all, but if you look down there, just at verse 17, the Lord Jesus Christ gets to her problem. Her problem. Look at verse 16. Jesus asked her a very simple question, or tells her a very simple instruction. Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I've got no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." The woman had a problem. You see, her life just didn't stand up to close scrutiny. You couldn't just take her life and just examine her life and find that her life was without blemish. There was all sorts of skeletons in her cupboard, all sorts of things that she would rather have forgotten about. And she was leading the kind of life that just wasn't up to scrutiny. Listen, that's not a cause for us to look down our nose at her, you know. For your life and my life doesn't bear up to scrutiny either. But listen to what God says about your life and my life. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen to what God's standard does in your life and my life. In your life and my life, with all of its polish and all of its religion. Your life and my life that we try so hard to put on that good face for everyone. Says God, "There's none righteous." No, not one. Every single one of us, as we stand before God, we're a sinner. Just like this woman, we've got a problem of sin, and it's a problem that you're going to have to deal with. It's a problem that won't go away. But if you stand before God in your sin, God will have no other option but to judge you. He'll have no other option but to cast you forever from his presence. You see, your sin, it will separate you. It will keep you at distance. It will put you away from God. It separates you from God now. And it will do that forever. Your sin, you see. Your sin has to be dealt with. And here was a woman. And when she had that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, she became strangely burdened about something. Things that she had never forgotten about for a long time. Things that she thought nobody knew about. She became troubled with her sin. Maybe God's speaking to you. And maybe he's been speaking to you over the past few weeks. If he has, he'll be speaking to you about your sin. And you'll become burdened about your sin. And you'll become troubled about your sin. You need to get your sin sorted. And there's only one way you can get your sin sorted. It's by turning in faith and in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's died to deal with your sin. There's nothing that you can do to take your sin away. The Bible tells us that. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. There's nothing that you can do to clean up yourself. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself acceptable before God. It is God who has done it. It's God that has dealt with the problem of your sin. He's given his only begotten Son, his only Son, the very best. He's given the Lord Jesus Christ. And says the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was given in our place. He died the perfect for we the unjust, or for we the imperfect. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he took our sins. He was punished for our sins. He suffered for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Son of God, he was taken. And they led him after his 33 years of life. And they nailed him there to a cross. And there he was punished. He was punished in your place. And he was punished in my place. And says the Bible, there he died, the just, for we the unjust. Listen, if God has been speaking to you over the last few weeks, you'll be like this woman. You'll become aware of your sin. And you'll need to get right with your sin. You'll need to get your sin sorted out. You'll need to get right with God. And there's only one person that can really deal with your sin. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin. Here's a woman. And she has an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Well, it's a chapter about a woman, and it's a chapter about a man. And you notice too, it's a chapter about a question. We're kind of getting to the point now. A chapter about a question. You look at it down there at verse 10, would you please? It's a chapter about a question. Three little things there we want to share with you. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, that's the Son of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So we notice that the chapter is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice that the chapter is about a woman. It's about a woman who has an encounter, an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice too, it's a question. A question that she almost forgot to ask. A question she almost forgot to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. She almost forgot to ask to be saved. She almost forgot to ask for that living water. She almost forgot to ask for that eternal life. And it was just there. It was just a cry away. But God had made a promise, you see. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. God had made a promise. Whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she almost forgot to do something ever so simple. Just to ask for it. She almost forgot. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two things you must know about. You need to know, first of all, about the Son of God. And you need to know about the gift of God, the gift of God. You say, Stuart, what's that gift of God? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us a little bit later on, doesn't he, about the gift of God. He tells us that it's something that can give us everlasting life. It is something that can make us right forever. Something that can fill us and fully satisfy us. Here is something that God can give. Here is something that you can't work for. It's a gift of God, and time again, right the way through the Bible, we're told that what God gives, it can never be earned. Salvation, this everlasting life, it's not something that you can ever do to get from God. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's not by your church going and your clean living. It's not by you keeping the Ten Commandments or anything like this. Here is something that you can only obtain from God, just as a gift. It's not by works, says the apostle later on. It's by grace. Just by God's gift. Just by God's kindness. You see, getting saved, it's all due to the love of God. It's all due to the fact that God loved you as a sinner. And he gave his only Son to die on the cross on your behalf. And God offers you salvation. He offers you a free gift. Just as something to put your hand in. Just as something to take. Just as something to ask him for. Or says the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just realize that God has a gift for you, that this gift of living water, he likens it to, this gift that can really satisfy, this gift of everlasting life, if you could just realize that it's there for you, just to receive. And so it's all about a gift, the gift of God, and it's all about the Son of God, the Son of God. The one who gives this gift, you see, is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't ever anyone quite like the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. He was absolutely perfect, the Bible tells me. He was a real human person, a real human being. We don't preach to you fairy stories, and we don't preach to you made up things. We preach to you real history, and he was a real historical human being. But the Bible tells us far more about the Lord Jesus than that. It tells us that the Lord Jesus was absolutely different. He was completely special. For not only was he a perfect human being, but he was the Son of God. He was really God. And the Lord Jesus Christ did what neither you nor I could do. He lived an absolutely perfect life. A life that was absolutely perfect and pleasing to God. And time again, God did with the Lord Jesus what the Lord Jesus did with this woman. He scrutinized the life. And time again, God scrutinized the life of the Lord Jesus, and he found him absolutely perfect. God had never seen anyone like this. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely holy. Completely different from every human being that had ever walked. You see, my, God must have been pleased with him. That's what he was. He was so pleased with him, he had him crucified. You see, the Lord Jesus did what no one could ever do. He paid the price for sin. You and I can commit the sin, but none of us can ever make up for that sin. And the perfect Son of God was the only one who could make up for the sins that you have done. And so God took him, and he had him nailed. He had nails hammered through his hands and through his feet. He had him beaten. He had him spat upon. He had the hairs pulled from his face. And says Isaiah, as he thinks about him, many hundreds of years before it happened, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. You see, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely unique. And he can offer you something that nobody else can offer. Something I can't offer. He offers you eternal life, everlasting life. Absolutely different. Absolutely different. As I was flicking through some of my books, you know, at home, sometimes it's nice to have a wee quote. Here's a wee quote for you. I'll read it to you. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus is no mere man. Oh, that's good. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. That's true, isn't it? Alexander, that's Alexander the Great, by the way. Caesar, Charlemagne and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Who wrote that? Napoleon Bonaparte. There was something different about this man. Something different. And the explosion that came when he entered into this world 2,000 years ago, the explosion that happened on that day, the ripples of it are still being felt 2,000 years after it. And here we are in a little hall in New Cumnor, thousands of miles away from where Calvary took place and from where that birth took place. And here we are, and we're preaching him still. And there are those still bowing the knee to him. Here is someone indeed, absolutely different. Says the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you just understood, if you just had a little glimmer of reality, if you just appreciated, if you just understood the gift of God, how God can give you as a free gift what you've always wanted, satisfaction and peace with God, salvation. If you just appreciated the gift of God, and if you just understood a little of the power and the greatness of the Son of God, you would just ask. You wouldn't forget. You would just ask. Listen, if God's been speaking to you over the past weeks, if you've been troubled about your sin, and if you've begun to understand something of the greatness of the Lord Jesus, and of what he did for you at Calvary, listen, tonight, don't forget to ask, will you? Don't be too late to ask. I had it in my mind if I wasn't going to speak in this, to speak about a man who was too late to ask. He could be too late to ask. Just a few minutes too late. Yesterday I was working for the on-call service. We were at one side of Ayrshire and a call came in. Man was breathless. We headed off to the other side of Ayrshire. Took us about 20 minutes to get there. I went into the little house. The son was standing at the door beckoning us in to hurry up. And there was the man. Blue and cold. Very, very dead. Oh, he said. 10 minutes, he said. You've just been here 10 minutes ago. Just 10 minutes too late. Didn't matter if it was 10 minutes, an hour, or a year, it was too late. Don't leave it too late, will you not? Just ask. It's a gift of God, salvation. And it's been made possible by the Son of God who loved you and who died for you at the cross. Just ask. And tonight, don't leave it too late. Just go home and close your eyes, will you? Or even here, just confess in the presence of God that you're a sinner and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and ask Him to come in and to save you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come into Thy presence and we do thank Thee for the greatness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, for what He did, and we thank Thee that He did what nobody could do. He paid the price for sin. We do just ask tonight, our Father, that if there's anybody here that's never had that personal experience of Jesus Christ, that tonight they would put that matter right, and they would do what is ever so simple really to do, just to ask. And we do thank Thee, our Father, for Thy promise, ask, and it shall be given. We do pray, our Father, that there might be a soul saved tonight, a soul spoken to tonight from Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for His name.